I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I remember the days when we would take something like this, and one of these, and we would write a little note perhaps, and then we'd put it in one of these. Then we'd go to the post office and we'd buy a stamp, stick it on the outside, and then we'd mail it, right? And perhaps we would, take a bigger sheet of paper, or we'd maybe give it a little card like this with an envelope. And we would do the same process, and we would send it off in the mail and hopefully connect with the person that we're trying to connect with. Some of you perhaps still do that. Most of you don't, actually. That's like two amens. That's it in the whole place. The basic message of those items, and if I hold them up again, of these items here, this is how we used to connect to people, to each other. We would write a letter, we'd fold it up, place it in the envelope, buy a stamp, mail it, hoping that the person would receive it sooner than later. I overheard someone just recently sharing this little story. They were telling someone about a letter they had received with great excitement, and it went something like this, the conversation. I received a note from a friend the other day, and it was so nice. I haven't heard from them in such a long time. I'm listening to all this. It was so good to connect again. And then they said these words. It was even handwritten. Almost to say it had more authenticity and depth because it was with ink and paper. But that wasn't really the highlight of the story for me. The highlight for me was when she said it was good to connect again. When Kathy and I were dating back in the late 80s, seems so far ago, there was no internet, there was no cell phones, no texting, and basically are hardly any phone calls because it was just too expensive to do so. We didn't live in the same town. I remember she went to Newfoundland to visit her parents for 3 weeks. I almost died. And I believe we spoke once or twice in that whole time for a brief amount of time, and geography made it difficult for us to connect. Those were the days when snail mail was the only real mail. It was normal, in fact. It was cards and letters and handwritten notes as well. But in spite of the distance, and in spite of the fact that that we really couldn't connect all the time, we still found a way to connect because we had great love and we wanted to share that love with each other. And so we found a way to connect. In fact, we still have two very large bags about this size, full of cards, letters, and handwritten notes that we gave each other back in those days. And I was tempted to bring them out this morning, but I didn't know if they'd get into the wrong hands or not. So I said, I'm just going to leave them at home. You don't want to read my little romances to Kathy. I'm sure you don't. Get your own letters and cards. And so we have these two, actually very large bags full. And I mean, it was about two or about maybe 3 years of just doing that. And I was writing notes emphatically, like every half an hour I was sending her a letter in the mail, it seemed. But we found a way to stay connected like many of you did back in those days. Now, there were many reasons or excuses to be disconnected, I suppose. We lived so far away. It was too expensive to call. We wouldn't get a quick answer anyways if we sent a letter. Too busy doing other things, I suppose. But we found a way to stay connected. Even though it was limited and it was challenging, and easy to be disconnected. So let's just take a few moments, and I want to share with you some of the answers that you responded with from the question. So let's look at the first one. Chasing things that don't matter. Someone sent that in a few minutes ago. That's a way to get disconnected from God. How many of you here find yourself chasing some things that don't matter sometimes? Let me see your hand. That's a great answer. I'm not sure who said it. Let's set the next one. The second answer that came in was our sin and our selfish desires. Wow. What an incredible challenge that is to overcome if we're going to stay connected to God. I don't know about you, but when, especially the second one here, when we sin, it seems that we fill ourselves with guilt or condemnation, and we beat ourselves up. And I don't know about you, but if I find myself in that position, it kind of makes me, I know I should go to God, but I kind of feel overwhelmed, like, God, I just sinned. I feel guilty. I don't even want to be in your presence. So our sin and our selfish desires. Number three, we let the busyness of life crowd him out. Busy, not making time. Wow. I'm not sure who sent the answer, but those are great answers, whoever sent them in today. Busyness. Crowd out our connectedness to God. I don't know about you today, but those three questions basically are a sermon in itself. So thank you for sending those answers in. We have a lot of opportunity to connect to God, but we have a lot of opportunity to disconnect with God as well. And really, it takes some effort to stay connected. But sometimes it doesn't take much time or much to disconnect from God, does it? In the world of wireless internet, the signal isn't always instant. The signal isn't always there. The signal isn't always free. And for sure, the signal is sometimes weak. I know some people who have even connected to the wireless network for no other reason than just to be simply connected. Anyone ever connect to someone's Wi-Fi and it didn't work? Come on, let me see your hand. You see all the bars and it's like, you can't do anything? That's so frustrating, isn't it? You know, Jesus knew that staying connected to him could be frustrating at times because of all the things that could go wrong. Jesus knew that Satan would stop at nothing to break our connection. John 10:10, it says, the thief comes, say it with me, to steal, to kill, and destroy. So Jesus knew that his number one mission was to try and stop you from staying connected to him. And he will stop at nothing. He doesn't respect us at all, doesn't respect anything about us. And so he will stop at nothing to steal, to kill, and destroy. This is why Jesus gives this great life-teaching lesson to his disciples in John 15. Now, let me give you the second question that I want you to answer. It's on the screen for us, I believe. The second question is, what are some practical ways to stay connected to God? Okay, I want you to just to answer some of that question, throw some answers in there, some practical ways for us to stay connected to God in a world that is so disconnected from him. So Jesus and disciples are journeying here in John 15 to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus begins to teach and share about the vine and the branch and how they are to stay connected if they are going to harvest fruit. Palestine, the place where they lived, was basically covered in vineyards. So this analogy was something that made sense as Christ taught them practically. In fact, on the temple itself, there was a golden vine with grape clusters hanging from it. And the vine was used to represent Jerusalem on coins made during the first Jewish revolt in AD 66. So the vine was clearly a very strong symbol of Israel. It represented to them life, hope, vitality to the people of Israel. When they saw this symbol of the vine and the grapes, to them it represented all those things, life and hope. and vitality. Therefore, when Jesus refers to himself as the true vine in verse 1, he is once again taking an image for Israel and he applies it to himself. Jesus is telling his disciples that he himself is the true Israel, if you will, that he himself is the life. He is the hope. He is the vitality for anyone who comes to him. And so John 15, 1 opens with this verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Why would Jesus use this as an illustration? First of all, the word true here means genuine. It means genuine. Second of all, a vine yields proper juice and nourishment to all the branches, whether these are large or small. All the nourishment of each branch passes through the main stalk or the vine that grows from the earth. And so Jesus is the source of all real strength and grace to his disciples. He is their leader, he is their teacher, and imparts to them as they need grace and as they need strength to bear the fruit of holiness. You see, living for the Lord, I don't know about you, but living for the Lord is hard work some days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's hard work some days. Not always fun. We don't always get the emotional tingles serving Jesus. At least I don't. It's hard work, especially if you are trying to fulfill the great commission of making disciples. In other words, the disciples' connection to Christ was crucial if they were going to be successful, not only with their Christian walk, but with any ministry they would be involved in. For them to bear any type of fruit themselves, or for them to see any fruit in their ministry, they had to stay connected to Jesus. He tells them that he would be the true vine, letting them know that there would be many things that they would have opportunity to connect with, including the system of religion that existed in their day. Now, I don't know about you today, but there are days when connecting to Jesus can be very challenging. There are lots of things that we can connect to, but only one true connection that has practical value and has eternal worth, that produces fruit, not just for our own lives, but in the lives of those we minister to. The key verse for today's message is verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The reality today, we cannot connect to God through a Wi-Fi signal, through an internet connection, or through any type of advanced technology. We connect through God by faith. We live in a world of constant connections. For most of us, we call it social media. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, MySpace. And then we have what we call email, which is old technology now. Texting, FaceTime, etc. This social media and modern communication methodology has far surpassed a fad or another trend in our culture. Social media has become an expectation in order to be socially accepted by our culture and our society. Listen to people's conversations some days. Oh, I was reading today that so-and-so did this. Oh, where were you reading that? On Facebook. Or people will talk to you about an update or a picture they saw on social media as if you also saw it at the same time as them. People will say things like, man, that was such a cool picture that so-and-so posted today, eh? Then you may hear the words that any social media buff would never want to hear. Oh, I'm not on Facebook. Really? Why not? You know, it's kind of the answer. Conversation over. Now, there are people actually out there that actually believe everyone's on Facebook. The reality is there are so many places to attach our hearts and get our attention. Is that true? So many places. But Jesus said, three simple words. Remain in me. Would you say that with me? Remain in me. Stay connected to me above all else. How do we do that? Well, the only way I can find in Scripture to remain in Christ is by a living faith. Living a life of dependence on Jesus, obeying his words and his teachings, imitating his example, and constantly living out our faith practically. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we live by faith and not by sight. Faith sometimes is spiritual in nature, and sometimes faith is an intentional choice based on the absolute truth of God's word and our own personal life transformation. Faith isn't always goosebumpy tingly. Faith is sometimes a choice we make based on the absolute truth of God's word. Hebrews 11:1, you know it well. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How many of you have ever seen a wireless internet signal? Let me see your hand. You've seen it? I've never seen it. How many of you have seen the Wi-Fi signal here this morning? I mean, we see the bars on our phone, but how many of you actually see the signal coming from the back right there on the little ledge to your phone or to your iPad? I can't see it. But I have faith it's there. Do you know why? Because it works. I connected to it this morning, although with some trouble. But I finally got through. Hey, kind of like praying, isn't it, sometimes? Some trouble, but you finally get through. Christ was telling his disciples that it would only be a faith, a trust and belief in him that would allow them to stay connected to the true vine. Don't allow the cultural message of the golden vine, he's saying, to confuse you or persuade you. This message in John 15 is on the way to Christ's death on the cross, and he is teaching them about how things are going to be in the future. There would come a day when they would no longer see Jesus, but he would be there with them, is what he's saying to them. Now, I love this part of verse 4. Remain in me, and then he says, I will remain in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you is not just about an empty connection, but it's about a personal experience through a two-way relationship based on living active faith. Anyone ever seen the wind? You ever seen the wind? Other than a storybook where they have a little face blowing, you know. Here's what John 3:8 says. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. Billy Graham said these words, I've never seen the wind, but I've seen the effects of the wind. We cannot serve Jesus, whom we have never seen, without faith. We've never seen Jesus, but we have seen the effects of what Jesus has done in our lives. Amen? We cannot live this Christian walk without staying connected to the true vine, who is Christ. We cannot have any type of experience with God without being connected to Jesus. In fact, it brings me to today's theme of the message. And here it is. Jesus is our prime connection, and he is the only one worth staying permanently connected to. Christ is our prime connection, and he is the only one we're staying permanently connected to. So why do we need to connect to a wireless connection? Why do we need Wi-Fi? Well, for most of us, when we're looking for a wireless signal for our phones or iPads or computers, we're trying to do something. Whether it's for personal enjoyment, boredom, work-related, research, shopping, streaming movies, downloading, etc., we are hoping to accomplish something when we connect to a wireless signal. So then, why would we need to stay connected to the true vine? What's the purpose of that? Well, Jesus gives the answer to that question in verse 4 of our text. Here's what he says. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, fruitfulness is the result of Christ's life being reproduced in a disciple through a personal connection. Fruitfulness is the result of Christ's life being reproduced in a disciple through a personal connection. Our part is to remain. What does it mean to remain? Three things, actually, it means here to remain. Number one is to accept Jesus. Number two is to believe Jesus. And number three is to obey Jesus. Accept, believe, and obey. Without faith, the life of Christ cannot be received. Without the life of Jesus, no real fruit can be produced. Jesus said, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, if everyone here today lost your cell phone reception and we turned off the Wi-Fi, there isn't one person in this room that will be able to browse the net or send and receive a text or tweet or creep someone's Facebook page. I was looking at someone's Facebook page, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. My daughter says, Dad, why are you creeping? I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you creeping? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, Dad, when you look on someone's page without them knowing, it's called creeping. I was like, okay, I guess I'm creeping then. That's what they call it. Okay, so in fact, our mobile devices are built with the understanding and purpose of connecting to some type of a signal. They become really useless without being able to be connected to cyberspace. They never really fulfill their potential. And let me give you our key point now with that being said. The key point today is this. Our measure and power to be productive in a godless society is only as good as our connection to the source, who is Jesus. Our measure and our power to be productive in a godless society is only as good as our connection to the source, who is Jesus. Jesus was telling his disciples that day that he must be their source. He must be their prime connection. We've called it today prime one. Would you say that with me? Prime one. Say it again. Prime one. So what happens if we're not connected to the vine? There's a very simple answer to that question. The branches die and become fruitless. John 15, verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, it's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Just like a mobile device that has no wireless signal is never going to fulfill its full potential and it becomes really useless. Our Christian walk today is only as good as our connection to Jesus. Without a connection to Christ, we never fulfill our full potential to produce fruit. Without a connection to Jesus, we will never bear fruit. Fruit that is grown on branches was never intended, fruit that was grown on branches was never intended to stay on branches. Fruit is produced so we can eat it, right? Oh, that's so good. You see, what's the point of that thing on the branch? Give me a moment here. Oh, that's good. I won't eat the whole apple because I want to get through the sermon. Fruit is also produced to be given away to fulfill an emptiness in the spiritual appetites of other people. If you grow fruit and it never leaves the branch, what's the point? What's the purpose? So fruit was made to eat. These are clean, by the way. Does anybody want an apple? Yep. What's the purpose of producing fruit if we don't eat it, if we don't give it away? It's useless. Listen to this. Fruit that is produced in and through your life will more often than not be used for the benefit of others. It's meant to be eaten. Fruit is meant to be eaten. Verse 5 of our text, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And one of the key words in this text is much. Everybody say much. Much fruit. You see, John 15, 1 to 5 is not about the disciples becoming spiritually fat, but it's about them producing fruit so they can be of use to others. What use will we become to other people if we have no fruit to give away? If we're not growing anything in our life, what's the point of offering them something we can't give them? In fact, the overtone here in these verses is ministry focused. The disciples had to stay connected to Christ in order to produce fruit, in order to minister to people properly and effectively. As believers in Christ, we cannot expect to be connected to multiple non-kingdom sources and then expect to achieve kingdom results. No vine, no fruit. Here's the bottom line today. Jesus is the only connection that we need. The question I'd like to ask you this morning is this. Are we taking him with us wherever we go? I pretty near sleep with my iPhone. Not quite, but close. Take it wherever I go. I have my iPhone. And the question I have for all of us today is, do we take Jesus with us wherever we go? Did you know that Jesus is mobile and wireless? There are no restrictions when it comes to connecting or staying connected to him. There are no roaming fees. There's never a drop signal. In fact, he is always aware of where you are, what you are doing, who or what you are connected to. And he is always looking for the opportunity of staying connected through faith, belief, and obedience with you. So, the second question that I asked you today, what are some practical ways to stay connected to God? We have those on the screen, the answers. Okay, so the first answer is this. Worship the Father on your own. Wow. So, I'm not sure who submitted the answer, but here's how we break it down. Basically, don't depend on Sunday morning to worship. Find times, Monday through Saturday, to worship in your car. So that could be things like proper music in your car. Not just depend on the radio, but intentionally plan CDs. Or I have in my car a USB stick. I have all kinds of stuff going all the time. If I go on a long trip, I actually get an audiobook and I play it. A good, solid Christian book. And I actually play the audiobook in my car if I'm going on a 3 or 4 hour drive. So that's a great answer. I'm not sure who put it. That's a great answer. So number two, pray in the morning and at night. That's a great thing to do. And I think the overtone here is this. Pray at every opportunity you can. Don't just depend on a certain time of the week or day. Or again, don't wait till Sunday morning to have corporate prayer in order to stay connected to God. Pray all the time. Okay, and next answer. Read your Bible and pray every day. Great answers. So finally, as we wrap up today, we need to be intentional about staying connected to God. In other words, plan it. Put it in your calendars. Put it in your iPhones. Put it in your cell phones. Put it in your iPads. Put it on your fridge. Get some magnets and put the thing. Be intentional. Plan it. Do you know no one's going to do it for you except for you? You can hear all the sermons, all the teaching, all you want on reading your Bible and praying, and that's all good, but if you don't do it, so you have to do that. We need to be constantly searching out and looking for that prime one connection. We need to be aware of the fact that Jesus desires to have a two-way connectedness relationship. Sometimes we just pray and we kind of spill our beans or our hard emotions and we give it to God and we just get up and say amen and we leave and God has no time to respond to us. Two-way connectedness relationship. And finally, we need to be focused on producing fruit. Producing fruit so that others can enjoy the bounty and the benefit of